Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Well, good morning, Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. It's great to have you with us today, and welcome to another episode of EMS Live. We have a very interesting topic today regarding video laryngoscopes. In just a few minutes, we'll be bringing in Eric Lang and Bob Barracks, both with Sun Prairie EMS. Look forward to the conversation about some innovative things that they are doing there. The first thing that I wanted to cover with you here real quickly, and we did a podcast on this last Friday, October 6th, is regarding Wisconsin EMS Day at the state capitol. We had a very good conversation with John Eich, who's the executive director with the Wisconsin Office of Rural Health. Dana Seckler, who's the EMS chief in Baraboo, also joined us, as well as Paul, president and president at Ryan Brothers Ambulance, Patrick Ryan. The conversation regarded the goals and objectives and talking points for the upcoming EMS legislative day at the state capitol. Again, that is Wednesday, November 1st. I'd ask you to refer to the PAW website for more detail. You can sign up there also. One thing that I did want to bring up, you know, when we all start in EMS, one thing that we don't think about doing is communicating with our legislative officials, government officials about EMS, and in a way lobbying, I guess, on behalf of what we want to have happen. What we are finding at the state capitol is there is a lot of movement right now with EMS legislation. Several bills are in motion right now. If those bills don't pass and they don't get signed by the governor at the end of a session, unfortunately, you have to start all over. That's just how government works. But we have some very important bills that are before both the Senate and Assembly. And so we wanted to do EMS Legislative Day at the Capitol to help push those items and for legislators to hear directly from EMS officials. We find that legislators want to help EMS. They just need to understand more about the industry business and some of the highlights that are important to get the job done. So we surely invite you to join us again on Wednesday, November 1st at the State Capitol. Refer to the PAW website at paaw.us. And you can also sign up so that we know how many people are attending. Lunch is included with the day's events. And there's no need to worry as far as, will I be on my own? Do I have to speak on with legislators on my own? Do I have to kind of be on the spotlight? You'll be a part of a group of individuals that will be meeting with legislators, so you don't have to worry about any of those concerns. What EMS is really good about is talking about its stories, sharing its stories, and the passion in patient care. That's why we all got into this. And that's really what legislators need to hear about. And typically, hearing those stories leads to some type of government action. And that's really where we'd like to go with this. So again, we invite you to be a part of EMS Legislative Day at the State Capitol in Madison on Wednesday, November 1st. I'd ask you to refer to the PAW website for more information. Now to our guests. After the break here, I'll be pleased to introduce Eric and Bob. We're going to be chatting with them about video laryngoscopes, something that's very innovative. And I want to thank Rick Stenson with the Wisconsin EMS office. Rick is a regional EMS coordinator, and he suggested that we chat about this topic this morning. You're listening to EMS Live in Wisconsin. We'll be back shortly after this brief break.
Godfrey & Kahn, a Wisconsin-based law firm, combines specific experience in numerous practice areas to provide a wide range of legal and business counseling services. The law firm is known for its core business practice and litigation, as well as providing strategic legal advice to the healthcare industry and employers. Their clients range from individuals and small businesses to government entities and large private and public national and international companies. Have a legal question? Contact attorney Thomas Shorter at Godfrey & Kahn, 877-455-2900, or find them on the web at www.gklaw.com. J&B Medical Supply is one of the nation's largest medical product distribution companies. With thousands of top-quality EMS products and services at better prices, J&B Medical is your only call. Order a copy of their extensive catalog at jmbmedical.com or contact Wisconsin Territory Representative Josh Tebow at 616-915-6392. That's 616-915-6392. At J&B Medical, their mission takes precedence over margins.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad. Or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli. I'd also like to bring into the program this morning Eric Lang and Bob Barracks. Gentlemen, hello and welcome to the program. Appreciate your time today.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Great to have you with us. Eric is the acting chief at Sun Prairie EMS and also director for systems and training. Bob is a paramedic at Sun Prairie EMS. And these gentlemen are looking forward to sharing some very innovative things with video laryngoscope. Scopy. You're going to have to help me with that word. So this is very exciting. How did you guys get started in looking at this?
Well, we started off with, as every other paramedic service does, with direct laryngoscopy and seeing that our success rate was less than desirable. Your goal with first pass success should be 100%, and we were well below that. So we needed to find different venues to increase our first pass success rate and give our patients the best opportunity for airway management. We started off with using the King Vision video laryngoscope. It wasn't necessarily the first video scope on the market, but it was the one that was most affordable to us. There was other devices that were in the tens of thousands of dollars, and from King Systems, the King Vision was an affordable option that we could use. We found that while it was a good device, it had some inherent failure points to it, in that it's a large device. We use a Lucas device for mechanical chest compressions. The device and the Lucas didn't work well together when attempting to intubate in a cardiac arrest. The disposable blade has a screen that goes inside of it, and that was easy to dislodge, thereby causing you additional difficulty while attempting the success. The final thing that made it a little bit less desirable for us is we couldn't record our intubation attempts, and we were unable to kind of critique ourselves to know what exactly we did or did not do wrong in regard to that particular unsuccessful past intubation. Just to be clear, all of our patients that while we didn't have first pass success got an airway that needed to get it. So whether it would be by a second pass success with the King Vision or any other device, or with a King LT airway placement. All these patients did ultimately get their airway. It's just that we had limited first pass success. So we transitioned from the King Vision to the VividTrack video laryngoscope. We happened upon a magazine article that showed the device that it recorded. We trialed it. It's an open source device, so we can use it on any tablet. It would even work on smartphones. It records the device, records your attempt, which is huge to us. We know that we can't get in to many operating suites to be able to practice our craft on live patients. So the next closest thing for us to be able to see airways is to watch someone else's attempt. We're able to not only then critique the attempt itself, but each paramedic is able to learn from the potential successes or hopefully not failures of another paramedic. The other advantage is with it being open source, we can put it on any device that we wanted to. We started off using it on our FieldBridge tablet, which was a Toughbook. Then we transitioned now to Dell tablets, so it's a rather large screen to be able to use. 3 or 4, maybe even 5 times bigger than what the King Vision has. Unfortunately, with the rollout of the VividTrack, we still didn't see a huge increase in our success rate of first pass intubations. So we knew we needed to do something kind of drastic in regard to how we went about intubation. So throughout our video laryngoscopy history, what we learned is that we needed to continually practice our craft with intubation. And while that meant the less desirable practice and simulation on mannequins and not on people. So we needed to make sure that we were practicing the device how it was meant to be used from the manufacturer rather than becoming creative and thinking maybe outside the box to try to fix problems that weren't necessarily there. We also needed to make sure that we were suctioning. One of our huge failure points was lack of suctioning. And Paw, if I remember correctly, has sponsored a video laryngoscope podcast prior, and that's the big thing with it was suctioning. If you don't suction, you're going to follow your camera, and that's going to lead to an unsuccessful attempt. Aggressive suction is necessary in all this, and in fact, we train on it. If you don't suction, you're not going to be successful. We also needed to make sure that each medic increased their familiarity with the specific devices and systems and airway anatomy. Some of us have been longtime paramedics, and just a constant refresher of as you're attempting to intubate, these are the things you need to look for, these are the things you'll see, and this is what you'll do when you see them.
So I think,
Bob, what's been your experience? Yeah, go ahead, Bob. What's your experience been?
Well, my personal experience goes back way too far. been a paramedic since 1991 in various positions, flight and ground. But the whole airway thing, you know, our success rates were down low, trying different devices, didn't really increase it. So we really took a big picture of what we're doing and what's not working so we can get our stats up to that 100%. And the device, you know, all devices have their pros and cons. Even with the track channel blades that we're currently using, you're never going to get 100% perfect alignment. You're always going to have complications with fluids, emesis, and everything else. So we really took the program and try and take a big, broad view with a blank slate and try and come up with a program that works. So through various training, I really explored the issue, did lots of research online, various websites we went to a lot of training. One of the big epiphical moments, I guess we could say, I had was we went out to the airway conference out in the Tetons, taught by Dr. Leviton, and out there met a lot of the big airway gurus everybody hears about. Jim DeCanto was out there. Yen Chow from Canada was out there teaching classes. Jorge Cabrera, a physician from down in Miami. But all they do is they're just airway addicts, and it's a very knowledgeable course to go to. And from that, we brought back a lot of information we put into our program. So I think the biggest thing, even with our VividTrack device that we have, it is a channeled blade system, so your ET tube is placed into the channel prior to introduction to the mouth. But that is kind of a limiting factor, too. Not everybody has the same airway structures. Thyromental distances can be different, can affect your tube delivery. So we're just looking at ways we can try to improve that to get that 100% success rate we're shooting for. We discovered that the use of a bougie really made a huge leap forward in our success rates. If you don't use the bougie with the VividTrack and other channel devices, we found that, you know, your tube alignment could be slightly off. It may be difficult to manipulate the blade in the mouth to get the tube to align with the vocal cords. Plus, too, you know, the greater thyromental distance you have as you advance that tube, the cuff of the tube can actually obstruct your view as you're getting closer to the cords. So one way around that was just inserting a bougie into the ET tube during your setup so it's already there, ready to use. And once you get the good visualization of the cords on your video laryngoscope, by inserting the bougie first, you can practically steer that bougie anywhere you need it to go by rotating it. We can go far left, far right in the field of view in order to work it through the cords. By alternating the angle of the blade up and down in the mouth, we can actually increase the height of it, decrease it, make it go lower. So really, we can place that bougie through the cords in pretty much any position as long as we can see the vocal cords. One of the drills we even do on a regular basis is we'll have the medics purposefully place that laryngoscope in the mouth at an offset angle of like 45 degrees in the mouth, so you can just barely see the vocal cords on the screen. And by inserting the bougie slowly, twisting it one direction or the other, you can just steer that to make a nice smooth curve right around and get it through the cords. So there's really no excuse, hardly at all, why you can't get the bougie through the cords. And once the bougie's in place, passing the tube normally goes real easy. So that was probably one of the biggest changes we made to increase the success rate when going to these video laryngoscopes, is just using a bougie on every patient. But the whole program we looked at was changed from the way we approach the patients, especially if we're looking at doing RSIs on them. We position the patients better, getting their head elevated up to 30 degrees to try and maximize their airway capacity and get the oxygenation up, really emphasizing about treating the patient first before you pass the tube. Really get their O2 levels up, try and get things stabilized with their blood pressure before we push the medications. Because on a lot of these patients, once you paralyze them, they lose their catecholamine drive. You get the tube, but yet their blood pressure crashes, and a lot of times they can't code in that tube. So we're looking at ways on all of this to work into our airway protocols to try and maximize not only first pass success on the rates, but also increasing our patient survivability rates with it as well. So it's been an interesting, no program is perfect. We're always looking at ways to improve it. There's new information devices coming out constantly that we're trying to keep track of and see if there's anything that we can add to our program to make it even better yet.
No, and I think as Bob said, the biggest thing we found was, and that we can point to one device specifically that has increased and had a direct factor on our success rate, is the bougie. But that's kind of like, that's the culmination of everything we've done. Not only did we enact an RSA program for all of our full-time paramedics that has increased the overall knowledge and skill of our group, we've changed our airway bags. We do monthly airway practice. And we have systems and techniques in place to go with the mantra of mastering the normal. We want to make sure that our normal airways become second nature to us. That leads us to having a difficult airway being not as difficult, and what used to be considered impossible airways now becoming possible for us. Our RSA program mandates that our full-time paramedics practice minimum 3 times a month with laryngoscopy, 2 of those being video practices and 1 being direct laryngoscopy with a laryngoscope and manual procedures. That not only makes sure that they are proficient in each of the procedures, but can, you know, keep their muscle memory in regard to all of the equipment locations. I think that's a final big factor in our success, is that when we remodeled our airway bag to lead us through the procedure in step-by-step form with where the equipment is located, is that when we practice that same way. When we practice an innovation, we're just not going to go to a mannequin, stick the device in the mouth, intubate them, and then walk away. We're going to practice the event like we're going to do it on a real person. So we have suction ready. We have all of our equipment laid out for us. We pass the tube, and then we ventilate afterwards, so that we are doing it in practice exactly how we're going to live and in person for the patient.
As far as like suctioning goes, I think Dr. DeCanto did the world of EMS a huge favor when he introduced his salad mannequins, the suction-assisted laryngoscopy airway decontamination system. We use that on a regular basis, and it really hones the point that if you go in to do an intubation, you have your laryngoscope in your left hand, you have your suction catheter in your right hand every time. In the EMS community, the biggest thing that separates us from like the OR intubations that we have and anesthesiologists deal with on a regular basis is that we rarely have clean airways. Almost all of them need decontamination up to some point. And if you train regularly every time with using the salad system, using the vomiting mannequins, where you can control the flow of vomit coming up, get people used to approaching the patients with that suction catheter in their right hand, it really becomes second nature. And when they go on a call and they need to intubate somebody or approaching somebody with airway issues, they always now have that suction in their hand, and it's one of the first devices they use, which is the way it should have always been done. But people get lax in their training over the years. A lot of times they just go through the mechanics of doing intubations and calling it practice, but it's really important to do it. You know, do it the way you're going to do it on the street on a regular basis. Make it second nature. The SAL system has been wonderful. I just love training with that. And there's so many things you can build into that as well. So many alternative techniques. If you do have patients with like bleeding esophageal varices where you're having trouble keeping up with the blood flow to visualize the cords, you know, we can take that suction catheter, especially with the new Duconto catheters out there right now. We can stick that right down close to the esophagus or actually in the esophagus, control that blood flow, and pin it on the left-hand side of the laryngoscope while we can still do the intubation from the right side of the scope. We've even done drills, too, where it's just copious amounts of secretions coming up. Let's say your suction canister is getting full and you need to get that tube secured. With that Duconto catheter, we found, too, with its larger diameter orifice, we can actually take that catheter, place that right into the vocal cords while disconnecting the suctioning, and use that as a pathway where we could put a bougie straight down through that catheter in the cords, withdraw the catheter, feed an ET tube over top of it in order to get that airway secured. So it's just a constant building of skills and tools in your toolbox, and we can keep adding into our system to make our medics even more proficient dealing with any type of airway that really presents itself. So training is the key, regular training, working with your skills, the way you're going to do them on the street. And it really worked out well for us. We got our percentages of success rates on first pass, nearly 100% all around. And people just have that confidence when they're approaching the patients that they can manage almost any airway that comes up. They have the confidence to do it now.
Excellent points here, Eric and Bob. We really appreciate you sharing this information here regarding video laryngoscopes. And I do want to sneak in a quick commercial break here. But after the break, would you be interested here to offer some suggestions to those on how to get started with this? There's always a point to, how do I get started? Maybe we can get some of those initial questions answered. We'll provide your contact information. Okay, sounds good. We are talking with Eric Lang and Bob Barracks. They're both with Sun Prairie EMS. This is EMS Live. We'll continue after this brief message.
This program is sponsored by Jefferson Fire and Safety, providing high-quality equipment and service to fire, EMS, and police agencies from across Wisconsin, and manufacturer's representative for Lifeline Ambulances. Find them on the web at jeffersonfire.com. Boundtree Medical helps America's EMS and fire departments save lives by providing a full array of medical equipment and supplies. You can, of course, get national brands from Boundtree, but did you know that Boundtree's private label products can save you up to 20% off the price of name brand? Another way to save is when you need to update your AEDs, defibrillators, monitors, and pumps. Boundtree's recertified equipment offering provides you solutions at a fraction of the new price. You can also save with Boundtree's smart kitting solutions. Order custom pre-assembled kits at a cost-effective price and ensure you have the products you need on scene. With a full line of pharmaceutical supplies and equipment, Boundtree can help you save lives and meet your budget. Visit www.boundtree.com today to see how Boundtree can lend a hand.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association. We're pleased to have again Eric Lang and Bob Barracks with us. We're discussing video laryngoscopes. Gentlemen, you've come up with a very innovative approach to doing things. We really appreciate the suggestions you offered. You know, it always is a matter of planning and pre-planning. Just like running a call, you have to be prepared. What are some of the suggestions you have to those that maybe have initially considered this, maybe not considered it at all, but getting started with video laryngoscopes?
I think what you have to do as you start is prepare your staff and set them up for success. So we simply tried adding a laryngoscope or a video laryngoscope. And while there was some positives to that, overall, there wasn't a change. So what we needed to do is change our look at our overall philosophy. And it's not just about airway management and laryngoscopy. It's all about today's medicine. I'm also a longtime paramedic, not quite as long as Bob, but those of us that are longtime medics got taught that you needed to know your stuff without stuff by meaning protocol, skills and procedures, without using any reference materials. That was a stumbling block for myself, I know, in that that's not necessarily the best way to go about practicing medicine today. So what we've gone about is with the setup for success, we've made our equipment lead into success. We teach that confidence in your skills and abilities and your assessment to know that what you're doing is the right thing and you will be successful. Practicing exactly the way you're going to perform it and checklists. One of the things we enacted was an RSA checklist that can not only be used in RSA, but also all airway procedures. And this comes from the clinical environment with Leviton and Weingart have their own checklist that we modified for ourselves to use in the field so that you can go by check step by step on the checklist and improve your success rate. We all know that one minor blip or complication throughout a procedure can mentally cause us huge stress and thereby potentially making a successful attempt unsuccessful just by simply forgetting to have suction available to us. So now we have the checklist, we're practicing, we're using the equipment the way it's supposed to be, and we've have our staff that are training regularly and have bought into the system. That's the other big thing is you can't just introduce it and expect it to be successful. You're going to have to practice with it. You're going to have to make sure that the staff are completely familiar with how everything works, not just the device, it's the specific device, the whole system of devices.
Right, this is a really important skill set, too. I was just curious, excuse me, I just wanted to jump in here real quick and ask, Eric, how many times have you used this so far this year? We're almost at the end of the year here on October 10th, but how many times has your staff used this skill with video laryngoscopes?
Yeah, we have 32 successful intubations for the year amongst our staff, and that's some obviously it's the law of unpredictability. Some staff have more than others, but everyone overall has been successful, and they can say from January 1 this year till now, they feel more confident in the use of the procedure and the scope, largely because of the education provided by Bob, but also because of the systems that we put in place.
Okay, excellent. Bob, I'm sorry, I wanted to come back to you for sure. What comment that you wanted to offer?
I should say it. I think the biggest thing with this whole video laryngoscope issue is just the ability to record every attempt. So even through practice on a monthly basis here, we are required to videotape, record, and those recordings are all reviewed. And that just is so important, a good QA/QI program where you can review people's skills, actually see what they're doing, teach them adjustments that they can make and help them develop their skills in order to maximize the use of the device as well. Every intubation is reviewed on a multiple level. I review it, Eric reviews it, our medical director reviews it. And it's just a constant way of looking for any types of complications people are running into, device issues, that we can alter our training, address, and actually further people's skills along the way. And it's just so nice to have all those recordings available. Definite advantage to video over manual laryngoscope. But the important thing is, too, is people just can't get the idea that we're just going to switch to video laryngoscope and that's going to cure everything. You do have to keep control and keep getting staff comfortable and working with the manual DLs as well. Because it's an electronic device, you can't have screen failures, equipment failures, and if that happens, you need to be just as proficient with the old manual DL as well. And so it's very important to keep up training on both.
Yes,
yes,
and for us, more importantly, not only do we have our overall 32 intubations, we have 6 successful RSAs, first pass success RSAs for the year, which from 2012 to 2016, we had 17 RSA attempts with two-thirds to three-quarters success, first-pass success rate. So to have 6 for this year, be first-pass success, uncomplicated intubations, especially in the RSA environment, that's a huge improvement for us, and we couldn't be anything but happy with regard to that result.
Terrific. Congratulations on those numbers. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of practice to get to those. It just doesn't happen right away or overnight. So congratulations also on what you've developed here at Sun Prairie EMS. How would somebody reach either one of you for more information?
Email would probably be the best way to contact either of us. My email address is elang@cityofsunprairie.com, E-L-A-N-G, and Bob will give his contact information.
Oh, mine's pretty easy, too. It's B-B-A-R-R-I-X, so bbarracks@cityofsunprairie.com.
And as I said, anything that we've developed, I'm a firm believer, and there's no reason for us, anybody in EMS, to reinvent the wheel. And anything we can do to help another system appreciate our success, we are more than happy to help. Bob and his salad mannequin, he'll take that anywhere and show that off to anybody. So if anybody wants to practice on salad, that mannequin, to see if that's something that they should have, which we believe they should, give us a buzz and we'll make it happen.
And it's not just all for right. paramedics either. That salad mannequin, we've used it in training with departments around our area at the basic levels. Anybody that's passing SGAs, whether it be King LTDs or whatnot, can benefit from using the salad mannequin and actually working with suction while you're placing the devices. It gets people just comfortable with a skill and task, and even makes passing of the combi tubes, King LTDs and stuff all that much easier, and gets people really in tune to keeping those airways clear.
Well, I really appreciate your words of wisdom here this morning on video laryngoscopes and what you've done. Congratulations to you and your staff, and we really appreciate you sharing your time and information with us. We encourage EMS providers not considering this or thinking about it to really open your mind to it, see what the opportunity and potential is, all doing the betterment for your patients and securing their airway. Gentlemen, thank you very much for your time and information today.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you with us. I want to also extend my thanks and appreciation to Rick Stenson. Rick is the regional EMS coordinator for the Wisconsin EMS office. Rick suggested that we chat with the folks at Sun Prairie EMS today, and I'm really glad that we did. Very, very good information. And feel free to reach out to them if you'd like some starting points on what they are accomplishing there. Our congratulations again. That will wrap things up for us today on this podcast. This is Joe Cavelli on behalf of the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. Thank you for listening. We sure invite you back again. Have a good day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.